Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
From KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We turn now to Proposition 19, which would change the state's property tax structure in multiple ways and use the projected revenue to fund wildfire protection. Here to break it down with us is Liam Dillon of the Los Angeles Times. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And so can you just first talk about the three main things that Prop 19 would do?
I'm going to try very hard, but this is very complicated. One of the most complicated measures that I've come across in my time covering California politics. And so essentially, as you said, there are three main areas. There's a new tax break for older homeowners, those 55 and older, where when they move to, were they to move to a new, more expensive property, they could take their lower property tax payments that they have at their existing house and then blend that with the market value of the new home that they're getting to reduce what that tax property tax payment would be. And so that's number one, and that's a pretty big benefit to those folks. Secondarily, what the measure does is it eliminates an inheritance property tax benefit that many children in California get. When kids inherit their parents' properties, they also can inherit their parents' low property tax rates. And what we found, the LA Times doing a story on this a couple of years ago, is that a large number of the inherited properties are actually being rented out or used as second homes. And so this measure would eliminate the ability for heirs to continue receiving low property tax rates if they want to rent out their parents' homes. And then the third thing is it would direct some money, although how much that money that would be is a bit in dispute, towards wildfire suppression.
So let's go back and dig in a little bit. So when you say, and let's talk about the property tax sort of portability part of this, and you say that it would blend it, right? For somebody, can you just talk about how it would be assessed?
Yeah, so I think it's probably best to give people an example of this. So I'm gonna try to do that. So let's take a qualifying homeowner that owns a home that's taxable value is now $200,000, but that home is actually worth $600,000 on the market. But that person would pay roughly $2,200 in property taxes now. So if that homeowner moves to a house worth $700,000, under this blended program, they would pay about $3,300 a year in property taxes if Prop 19 were to pass. Currently, if they do that same move, that homeowner would pay $7,700 annually. So it's a big savings, about more than $4,000 a year in that example.
And they could do this multiple times under this new law, under the new proposal.
Up to three times, yes. Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it would also apply to people with disabilities and people who have experienced a natural disaster and need to move to a new home. But in that case, they could only do it once. Is that right?
I believe it's still three, but I may be wrong on that. All I know is that overall it's three, but also it's worth keeping in mind that the lion's share of folks who are going to benefit from this are the older homeowners. They're roughly, 4 million, households with 55 and older where they could do this in the state. And there was a recent study that came out that suggested that those, affected by wildfires, for instance, less than 1% of that number. And so we're really talking about this benefit going towards older homeowners.
Okay. So then tell me what effect it would likely have if you allowed people 55 and older to be able to keep their current property tax rate, right, from the home that they have when they purchased it. What is the expectation that this would do, which is also in part why realtors are so supportive of this?
Yeah, people would sell more home, would sell their houses more often, right? I mean, if you get a big tax break, if you to move into a new house, then you're probably going to be more likely to move. And so that makes sense why the realtors who've, you know, pumped more than $30 million into this campaign would be interested in having this in this measure pass, is that, you know, more home sales obviously benefit the real estate industry.
And now, not only that, but these 55 or older homeowners could do this anywhere in the state versus just in their county or a certain handful of other counties, as you touched on. And then you also have, at the same time, right, the threat, though, that counties could lose money based on this if you have a whole bunch of people moving into your county with these low tax rates, property tax rates.
This is a really complicated thing. It's hard to tell how it's all going to shake out at the end, right? But I think what's important is, you know, folks may remember that 2 years ago, the realtors ran a different initiative, or rather a similar one, called Proposition 5, and that initiative failed. And all that one did was have the, as you said, the portability option, this sort of homeowners 55 and older being able to move and get lower property taxes or blend the property taxes when they move. This measure does include a revenue component, as I said, right at the top, by eliminating that tax break for heirs. Or renting out their property. This now, according to the nonpartisan legislative analyst, in total is more likely to raise revenue overall than it is to lose revenue. And that was not the case 2 years ago.
So for those people who aren't really keen on, say, expanding Proposition 13, right, expanding this benefit, they've got this other part of this proposition, which would basically clamp down on the tax break that people who've inherited property are getting right now. What are the conditions on that?
Yeah. So that the simplest form, currently you're essentially allowed with some limits to inherit your parents' home and then rent out that property. In fact, we found that, as I said, the LA Times, myself and a colleague did a story a couple of years ago where we found, you know, examples, you know, Jeff Bridges, the actor from The Big Lebowski, and his siblings were able to get their parents' Malibu beach home and keep low property taxes on there, and then rent it out at, you know, $16,000 advertised $16,000 a month, while paying just a fraction of that in annual property taxes. Under this measure, those sorts of things would go away. And so if you want to, as a child, want to move into your parents' home as you inherit it, you would still be able to do that with some limitations and keep that tax break. But if you want to use that home as a second home or as a investment property, you would have to pay full freight upon that inheritance.
And so let me invite our listeners to join this conversation. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. And you can also email your questions at forum@kqed.org or post them at KQED Forum on Twitter or on Facebook. And this listener writes, how does this proposition affect a landlord who only owns a few rental properties? If someone owns three rental properties that have increased in value and are now worth about $1 million, will their properties be reassessed to a higher tax rate?
Short answer, I think the short answer is no. This only occurs when there's a transfer of the property. Right. So assuming the landlord continues to own the property, there's no change to their taxes under this initiative.
Well, Robin writes, one of the aspects of Proposition 19 that people don't understand is that it saves a lot of small rural fire-prone areas. This is an aspect that I think needs to be dealt with. I know that local firefighters support it for that reason. I mean, in part, this is basically dedicated funding. Some of the revenue would be dedicated to wildfire protection, and that's a big part of why it is popular, right, Liam Dillon? I mean, my understanding is that this is polling quite well at this point.
Yeah, the wildfire stuff is a little interesting. And this is sort of a last minute compromise that happened in the legislature to add some efforts that would dedicate some of the funding for wildfires. Because of increased property taxes that potentially may come from this measure, local fire districts, including rural districts, as your listener mentioned, would get more funding than they would otherwise. But sort of another thing, and this gets into even further complication, is the lion's share of the wildfire funding is supposed to come from the state. And there's a very complicated formula whereby the state has to dedicate a significant amount of revenue to public education. And if a certain, you know, threshold is not triggered, then that wildfire funding will not materialize. And in fact, the nonpartisan legislative analyst does not predict that that threshold will be triggered for the foreseeable future, at least through 2024 right now. And again, there's a lot of uncertainty around that. But this is a long way of saying that a lot of the lion's share of this increased funding is not guaranteed if Prop 19 passes.
On the other hand, Jordan writes, the portability of the tax base you're talking about already exists for 10 counties. Prop 19 would impose this system in all counties, and those counties may not want that because many people will flood in, raise house prices, and lower tax revenue. Not good for many rural counties. So Jordan sees it that way. And it is very interesting to see who is for it and against it based on which part of this proposition people are choosing to really focus on. Liam Dillon, let me go to some calls. Let's go to Ann in Mountain View. Hi, Ann.
I'm really concerned that this law is a big sledgehammer. You know, what if you're a college student and your parents die and you want to live in your family home, but you have to sell it because you can't rent it out for 2 years until you're done with college? I mean, it doesn't just make it horrendous for you financially. You probably have to quit college to deal with selling the house, you know? What if you want to take a couple years of sabbatical and live in a foreign country? Or what if you're living in another state when your parents die and you intend to live in the home? I mean, these are not Jeff Bridges. You know? It seems like the law doesn't take into account these things. And I want to say, you know, they're advertising this proposition as helping firestorm survivors, but you're already allowed to transfer your basis if you're a firestorm survivor. You just have, if there's a county that isn't part of that, allowing that, you just simply have to ask them. You know, many large counties in California already allow that.
And thanks. I think you raised some really interesting points, Liam Dillon. And I know your original reporting on the proportion of homes inherited, right? So talk a little bit about Ann's point about the onerous burden it places on certain people like college students, for example, and also broadly what your understanding is of the people who have inherited homes and how they're using that property tax break.
Sure. So I think we should characterize, and yes, I'm certain that the scenario that your caller described is certainly a real scenario, one that would be concerning. That being said, I mean, you take a look at the population of homeowners in California, particularly the population of older homeowners in California, and you find that they're significantly wealthier and significantly more likely to be white than the general population in California. And so this is a tax break that, you know, goes from, you know, benefiting folks who have generally been wealthier and whiter than the rest of the state that are not offered to in the same way by the numbers to folks who are not that. And so, yes, again, I mean, certainly there could be circumstances like your caller described, but I think in the aggregate, you know, this tax break, the inheritance tax, a property tax break, benefits a more well-off segment of the state than the state as a whole.
We're talking with Liam Dillon, a statewide housing affordability and neighborhood change reporter for the Los Angeles Times. We're talking about Proposition 19. And if you have questions, you can call 866-733-6786, or you can post them on Twitter or Facebook. You can also email your questions to forum@kqed.org. I'm Mina Kim. This listener writes, we already have tax-based portability via Prop 60 and 90. Why do we need this one? And this is something that you were talking about when you were talking about current law, Liam Dillon, but do you just want to emphasize a few things about what exists now and what this would do?
Right. So as your listener said, that is correct. Currently, homeowners who are 55 and older have a one-time opportunity to retain their existing tax benefits if they move to a home of equal or lesser value within the same county. And they can do the same when moving between Los Angeles and nine other counties. And I believe Santa Clara, for your, you know, obviously Bay Area listeners, is one of those counties as well. And so, you know, Prop 19 does greatly. There is existing law that allows many people to do this. Prop 19 expands that significantly, by allowing this to happen across the entire state, right? And B, by allowing older homeowners to blend up. If they move to a more expensive house, they would get these benefits. It doesn't just have to be, as the current law says, a home of equal or lesser value.
Right. And the difference in market value between the old and new homes would be added to the old home's assessed value. So, for example, this listener tweets, since the rate doesn't change, wouldn't older owners only save by moving to a lower valued home? Like they could move to the same value, or if they move to a more expensive one, this is what would take effect, this new assessment based on the difference between the old and new home value. Let me go next to Eve in Sebastopol. Hi, Eve.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, go right ahead.
So I'm calling a neighbor of mine in this situation. She owns her home, and she has a rental property on the property as well. So what if her children inherit that property? They move in to the main home, but they continue to maintain the rental as a rental. How does that tax assessment work?
Eve, thanks. Liam Dillon?
Yeah, I wish I could be able to answer specific questions, like that. And unfortunately, that's kind of beyond my capacity. It probably makes sense to talk to, an estate lawyer, right, in those individual circumstances. But again, broadly speaking, if the children move in to their parents' homes, they're able to keep the property inheritance tax break. If it is a rental property, then they are not.
Let me go to Lauren in Albany. Hi, Lauren.
Good morning. Thank you for the show.
Thank you.
My comment is that, like Prop 13, this new proposition would add, increased tax benefits to people over 55 that already own homes. And those of us who I have in-laws and my own mother who both own homes, but my wife and I are still trying to buy a first home. And the property tax differences between what we would purchase for $700,000 and what somebody who's selling a home, making money, and then getting a real tax benefit just puts the burden on the generations behind the over 55.
Lauren, thank you. And it's something that was actually echoed by your paper, Liam Dillon, the Los Angeles Times, right, is against this measure. And of course, part of it is the concern that the tax break, Prop 13, and other related tax breaks have deprived school districts, cities, and counties of billions of dollars in revenue. Do you know, is there a figure on how much the inheritance property tax break, if it went away in the way that this proposition says it should, how much it would actually generate?
Let me clarify that you said the LA Times was against the initiative. Our editorial board was, I'm a straight news reporter. I don't have a position.
Exactly. Right, the editorial board. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. But to that point, in the story that we did a couple of years ago, where I mentioned, taking a look at the tax break that Jeff Bridges is receiving, we compared that to, and again, Malibu Beach House, $7 million, like a lovely home, right? But we compared that in the story to, a new homeowners in Lancaster in the Antelope Valley in, LA, some, 60, 90 miles from the city. So pretty far out there, buying their first property, and their taxes were, just slightly below, their property taxes were just slightly below what the Bridges family were paying for this Malibu beach house that they were renting out. Right. And so again, that speaks to the point that your caller was making. The legislative analyst has assumed, and I'm sorry, I'm just pulling up their number, but they do believe that that it's a few billion dollars a year that local governments lose in property taxes as a result of this inheritance transfer.
So for those who want to see the inheritance tax break go away, but they don't support the expansion of Prop 13, what would be the likelihood that the legislature would be able to do this reform outside of this proposition? And we just have 30 seconds.
Sure. So the legislature put up a ballot measure that would have done that. They had a discussion over it and it didn't move forward. So I think, only unless and until you have an interest group that's willing to put their heft and their, frankly, their money behind it, that's really the only way you're going to see these sorts of major changes in the state's tax scheme.
Well, Liam Dillon, thanks so much for talking with us about Proposition 19.
Thanks so much.
And thanks to our listeners for their questions and comments. Thanks to Blanca Torres and Ariana Prale for producing today's segment. Forum is also produced by Judy Campbell, Tina Lauerberg, and Susan Britton. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. And our intern is Jameson Weiss. Our executive editor is Ethan Tobin-Lindsay. And our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm Mina Kim. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.